All right. So we are doing the NFC East.
NFC East.
Damn it. That's what I was about to do. I was like, check this out. And I was cracking, performatively cracking my knuckles. And I was going to go more like NFC least.
Undercut.
Ah. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. This is the only podcast where the hosts spent 15 minutes figuring out the most evil alumni from their colleges before the episode started.
I think I might have figured it out again.
Oh, yeah?
Bobby Kotick.
Oh, was that Activision?
Yes, Mr. Activision. Who was like literally pals with Epstein.
Yeah, no thank you. No thank you to that. UCSB was, I think we landed on the TMZ guy, probably the most evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Epstein guy, was that Oakland or U of M?
That was U of M. No, Oakland, again, one famous guy who went there and didn't even graduate.
And that was?
Mr. Big Pecs himself, David Hasselhoff.
That man is currently drunk on a floor eating a burger. I hope not, man. Yeah, he's like 80 now. All right, Walker, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Ready to talk about the NFC East.
More like NFC Least. Yes, East. I got it yes. That time.
ready to discuss a bunch of players who are relatively around where they should be going, and there aren't a whole lot of great or terrible values here, in my opinion. At least on the teams in positions that I did.
Yeah, I did. I did the Giants and Jackson Dart. I did all the stuff, and I was like, I feel good about him. I think he'll finish around QB9. And then I was like, ADP QB9. I was like, great, cool, thanks, man, awesome. All right, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Watching the World Cup. Watched every game so far, so
damn,
yeah,
that's a lot of footy.
Yeah, it's a lot of footy, but I enjoy the hell out of it. I got brackets and everything going on, spreadsheet going on.
Nice, yeah.
Let's go.
One of the things I saw about the World Cup was U.S. like, because you know they have like the soccer chants and U.S. doesn't have any. And it was this lady who was doing it, and she got one of my favorites. She did was. It was like, if we win, you call it soccer. If we win, and I was like, hell yeah. But it's foot A. It's foot A.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. And you know what we're going to talk about? Not that football. We're going to talk about real football, American football, the gridiron, folks.
America.
Not that kind of football absurdity. All right. So we're doing the NFC East. We have I'm taking the Giants. Walker, you have the
Cowboys.
Mike, you have the Commanders. We split up the Eagles. We punted Saquon. Reason being is Saquon, you know who he is, you know what you're getting. Down year last year, likely to bounce back. We called the down year because of the volume, so I think he'll bounce back. There's not a lot to talk about there. Next week, we're doing the NFC North. We're not actually punting a position, though. It's too juicy. We're actually going to combine Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft into, as Walker called it, a Lovecraftian nightmare. So that's what we're going to be doing next week with the NFC North. We're not actually going to be punting a position. But this week, we are punting running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Saquon. You know what you're getting. Behind Saquon, it's what? Tank Bigsby? Cool, man.
Will Shipley?
It's always Will Shipley.
And they might have brought in another guy, but I don't know who.
I don't think
they signed anybody. They might have drafted a guy like in the seventh round, but I don't remember.
You can't remember. All right. He doesn't matter. All right. So let's start with who started last week?
Me.
All right. So I know I'm going second because I went last week. So that means Mike's going first and running back behind Will Shipley. Oh, No, it's all has-beens. This is a nice roster of has-beens behind Saquon. You got Tank Bigsby, Will yep. Shipley, Damian Pierce.
Ooh.
And Elijah Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, that's rough, buddy.
And at fullback, everybody's favorite one-week wonder. People were laying it all out there to go get this guy. Yep. One of the funniest collective delusions of fantasy football ever was Carson.
Yeah, Steele. One of the easiest guys to just be like, hey, the guy who wasn't very good in college and doesn't catch any passes ever and didn't get drafted probably isn't the next, like, really good running back.
Yeah, and you had people writing, like, think pieces about how he was.
Right, about how he's gonna take over the KC backfield with this opportunity because one time at Ball State he ran for, like, over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, that's right. Balls Tate. All right.
Balls Tate.
All right, Mike, let's start with you. Let's start with the Washington Commanders, the Commies, as folks call them. How are we doing? Are we going to talk about Jacory Kroski-Merritt? Please tell me he's good. Tell me he's good, actually. Okay, perfect. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, Mike, let's get started. Let's get the party started.
Okay, so under offense coordinator David Blau, they will run a traditional pro-style offense, moving quarterback Jaden Daniels under center more frequently and heavily utilizing play-action passes. The offense emphasizes personnel flexibility, motioning players pre-snap, and doubling the usage of multi-tight end sets to keep defenses guesses. Blau's scheme leans into traditional concepts rather than relying strictly on the shotgun and pistol formations used by predecessor Cliff Kingsbury. The Washington Commanders finished the recent NFL season ranked 22nd in total offense, averaging 318.8 yards per game. The Commanders' offense broke down the following statistical averages. Rushing offense, they were fourth, which surprised the hell out of me.
Really? Fourth,
yeah. 134.7 yards per game.
You do have running quarterbacks as well.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I figured out. Like, gotta be
that's
Daniels.
JCM excellence, baby.
Passing offense, they were pretty bad at 24th. Scoring offense, they were 21st. And efficiency, 5.8 yards per play, put them 12th. As far as quarterbacks go, Jaden Daniels has an ADP of 4. He had an awesome rookie season. He threw for 3,568 yards and 25 touchdowns for 891 yards and scored 6 times and was named Offensive Rookie of the Year. Daniels played only 7 games in 2025 due to elbow, knee, and ankle injuries. When he was healthy, Daniels was less efficient passer than he had been in 2024, averaging only 6.7 yards per pass attempt and completed 60.6 of his throws in 2025, down from a 7.4 yards per average and 69% completion rate as a rookie. That's per Fantasy Pros. Daniels still ran aggressively, averaging 8.3 rushing attempts per game after averaging 8.7 as a rookie. His effectiveness as a runner waned, going from 6.0 to 4.8 yards per carry. He doesn't come with a price tag as he did last season, and the lack of weapons are concerning.
Okay. How do you feel about him this year for fantasy? He's got an ADP right now, Jaden Daniels does, of QB5. I won't give you the round because obviously that's different Superflex versus 1QB. But how do you feel about Jaden Daniels as QB5 this year?
I think that's probably a solid ADP. 5 or 4 is probably pretty good. Like I was saying, the lack of weapons are definitely concerning. As of right now, I don't know if they're going to bring in Brandon Ayuk or not, or if they even want to bring in that mess. but I think as far as right now, There's not much at running back that they can like as far as receivers. And then they only have Terry McLaurin, who also had a down year, probably more so because Jaden Daniels is down year as well. But yeah, he runs a lot, so that's good.
That'll offset it, yeah. Walker, what do you think?
I like the rushing floor. He's obviously more stable than some of your other options because of that, but the injury issues, the lack of weapons, the lower passing volume than a lot of your other quarterbacks going in the same range means that I probably won't have any Daniels this year.
All right, fair enough. Also, I just saw breaking news. Mike, your boy, Sauce Gardner, did you see this?
No.
Walker, did you see this?
No.
I got to double check to make sure that this isn't an April Fool's thing. He's actually a year younger than all of his stuff says. Yep. So he signed, his paperwork was filed with him being born in 2001, which is when he was born. But for some reason, all of his stuff says 2000. He's like, guys, oh. I am not 25 already. I am 24.
Nice.
So Mike, congrats. Your star cornerback just got a year younger.
Got us a year. Hell yeah.
Yeah. You should be like, hey, so do we get another year back on your contract? Like,
right.
We signed you through your age X season. Do we get an extra year out of that?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Yeah. All right. Mike, are we going to talk about Terry McLaurin or are we going to talk about Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt next?
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Let's go. Running backs.
Comes in as an RB42 and had a roller coaster of a season, and as he finished as RB31 on the season. Washington didn't use him in the passing game as he only caught 9 passes on 13 targets. He was in and out of the starting lineup as the team also leaned on other backs like Chris Rodriguez. In 2025, Kroski-Merritt had 4 top 24 finishes in weekly scoring while also popping in rushing efficiency metrics. Among 49 qualifying running backs, he ranked 26th in explosive run rate, 19th in yards after contact per attempt, 7th in yards per carry on zone runs, and in 9th in one rushing success rate. That's per fantasy points data. He has a crowded backfield to deal with once again as the Commanders brought in Rashad White and Jerome Ford. They also drafted Ka'Tron Allen.
All right. How we feel about these guys this year for fantasy?
No.
Huh?
No.
No? Walker?
I would say it's most likely a no from me as well. I'm not interested in Rashad White because he's a floor play. You can get similar production cheaper on the waiver wire. Kroski-Merritt doesn't catch passes and won't be the clear starting back, in my opinion. Jerome Ford is old and not very good. And Ka'Tron Allen also doesn't catch passes. So even if he's better than Kroski-Merritt, he also won't have the pass catching. So White will probably score the most points, but we know he's going to run inefficiently and not score many touchdowns. So I would rather not. I agree with Mike.
White might score the most points and he might be the worst of the three.
Yes, that is. Because I'm eliminating Jerome Ford. He's fourth.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not counting Jerome Ford. I'm talking about Ka'Tron Allen. Jerome Ford is like a clear, like, Rashad White backup.
Yes. Ford is, yes. It's Kroski-Merritt and Allen for one role and White and Ford for the other role.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think Rashad White's worse than Jerome Ford. Like, I think they are fine.
White's like a bad runner and a good pass catcher, and Ford is a below average runner and average pass catcher.
Yeah, I think White might be if David Blau harkens back to the PPR scam back role that we love it, folks, don't we? Rashad White might have he might finish 27.
Yeah, I mean, I say, if anybody's going to have value, it'll be him. But he's not going to ever have the blow up game because the best he's going to do is have like 7 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown, and then 6 receptions for 60 yards on, just because of like a 2-minute drill situation or something.
Yeah, it's gonna okay. Let me ask you about this. Here's something fun, which is gonna be a more annoying backfield to deal with. Washington with Kroski, Merritt, Allen, and White, or Tampa Bay with Bucky, Gainwell, and Tucker. Because Tucker had like 7 goal line touchdowns last year or something crazy like that. 6 maybe. Like it was like I don't know. Which situation do you think is worse to is gonna be worse to deal with? Tampa Bay or Washington?
Washington, because the players are worse.
That's what I'm thinking, Mike.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's like, what if Tampa Bay's situation was with worse players, folks?
Yeah,
Then
they're all
that's
just like a step down.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's like across the board. It's like, would you rather have Bucky or JCM? Bucky, easy. Yeah. Would you rather have White or Gainwell?
Gainwell.
Mike,
Yeah, Gainwell.
Katron Allen or Sean Tucker? Oh,
No
Sean
idea.
Tucker, Sean Tucker.
Probably as of right now, Sean Tucker, but I
Yes.
we'll see. We'll see how good Allen ends up being. But Tucker is at least a cromulent, RB2.
As of June 18th, Tucker. July 18th, Tucker. August 18th, Tucker. September 18th, we'll see.
Yeah,
Who
question mark.
knows? Who knows? October 18th, anyone's game. November 18th,
Don't
Sean
even talk to
Tucker.
me. Don't even talk to me about February 18th.
February 18th, that'll be the week after Sean Tucker wins the Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP, Sean Tucker.
Don't think so.
Hey, Malcolm Smith won one time. It
Yeah,
could
but I just
crazier things have happened.
I have crazier things happened than this Buccaneers team winning the Super Bowl.
The New York Knicks winning the NBA championship.
Yeah, but they have good players.
The Buccaneers have Sean Tucker. Checkmate. Boom.
50,
Walker,
one
Walker,
of 53.
I daintily took your king and put it down and said checkmate.
But that and you did that without making a move.
Correct.
You just did it for no reason.
I just declared checkmate.
Yeah, it's like okay.
Yeah. All right, perfect. All right, Mike, let's talk wide receivers. Maybe Brandon Ayuk. Who knows? Who knows? Brandon Ayuk doesn't even know. Brandon Ayuk doesn't even know where he is right now.
Yeah, and he's put out a couple of videos that are quite concerning. Terry McLaurin is wide receiver 22 and had a bad mixture of injuries and touchdown regression from his 2024 season. He dealt with quad injury that limited him to just 10 games. He would go on to catch 38 passes for 582 yards with 3 touchdowns. This was good for wide receiver 36 finish and points per game. Lauren finished as the wide receiver 7 in 2024. However, he still remained highly efficient as he had career highs in YPPR. With the Commanders entering 2025 near the top of the league in vacated targets and air yards, McLaurin is positioned for a major bounce back as a number one wide receiver if he and Jaden Daniels stay healthy. He's entering his age 31 season.
Okay. I'm kind of out on Terry McLaurin. I've been kind of out on Terry McLaurin his whole career. I always felt like I was behind consensus on him. And I don't know. He feels okay. Like, let's see. Walker, how do you feel about Terry McLaurin this season?
I think he's a fine pick. Kind of in the same range, there's a few guys I'd like better, but there are also some guys going in that range that I like worse. I mean, sorry, I think that probably I would take him slightly before his ADP, but not much. And I would rather take like Luther Burden, Jameson Williams, Zay Flowers. But I would take McLaurin over like Davante Adams, T. Higgins, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, and Ladd's already hurt too.
Oh, he is.
Ladd hurt his hammy in training camp, which hammy, good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. All right. Mike, how are we feeling about, do you have any other wide receivers you feel like are worth a look in this passing game?
Yeah, Antonio Williams
Okay, perfect.
is wide receiver 68. and was drafted in the third round as of today, comes in as the wide receiver two on the team. Williams will have the slot role in Washington's offense. He has consistently been a strong efficiency, 2.27 YPPR in 2025, despite battling injuries and underwhelming team environment at Clemson. Now in Washington, and with Deebo Samuel gone, and the Commanders ranking top three in vacated targets, he is a strong late-round sleeper in PPR formats.
Walker, I particularly like Antonio Williams just because they've been trying to fill this role for a couple seasons, and he's cheap. So it's one of those things where you're like, he could scam his way into like a top 45 finish, but I don't really think that the offense is strong enough for him to finish any higher than that. What are your thoughts on Antonio Williams?
Yeah, don't mind the player. He went in the third round. I had a third round grade on him. I think he is the second best receiver on the team. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I do think that Chig Okonkwo is a better pass catcher than he is. And I think Chig will probably be the number two target by a slight margin in this offense. And if I'm going to take a shot on a slot receiver who went on day two, who's going to just soak up some like short area targets, I would rather have Zachariah Branch than Antonio Williams.
Oh, yeah. Zachariah Branch is far more dynamic than Antonio Williams.
Yeah, so that Branch, I feel like there's a narrow path for him to finish top 36. There is no path for Williams to finish top 36 unless Terry McLaurin gets hurt immediately.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin gets hurt immediately is pretty much his only path to success. Another set of breaking news, because I pulled up RotoWorld because I was trying to get more information about Ladd McConkey's hamstring injury. And I panicked because my second round pick in my home fantasy baseball league, Jazz Chisholm, was pulled from the game with a groin injury.
Yes, he got hit in the balls.
Yeah, because I think he'll be okay. I clicked on it.
He hit a foul ball off his nuts so hard he got nauseous and had to leave the game.
I feel like that should be classified differently than a groin injury.
Yeah. Well, I just think they find it uncouth to put like scrotum injury.
Jazz Chisholm, parentheses cojones.
Yeah. Sack.
Sack. All right, here it is. McConkey hamstring, said he strained his left hamstring but expects to be ready for camp. He echoed Jim Harbaugh's message that he doesn't view it as a significant concern. It is at least a mild one, considering it's costing McConkey reps in a new offense. It could grow into a bigger one if he sidelined longer than the internal estimate. So a little bit of a hammy issue. So just to not leave that bit hanging.
You know what this means? It's another year of relevance for being wide open, man.
Quentin Johnston being wide open merchant.
Yep, the guy who everyone forgets to cover is going to have another 8 touchdown season for no reason.
And people are like, he's good now?
Yeah, he's what, scoring 8 touchdowns and having less than 50 catches and finishing wide receiver 44.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Nepo baby season, but I guess he is a Packer now.
Brendan Rice.
Yeah.
Trying to remember bits from Jeff's past.
Nepo baby. Let's go, baby.
What player that was.
All right, let's talk about the best player. Speaking of bits from the past, let's talk about the best player in the passing game. His name, Chig Okonkwo. His position, tight end. His person talking about him, Mike Valverde.
Chig has moved from Tennessee to Washington, and this could lead to a high fantasy performance. For one, he has a legitimate quarterback in a pass-friendly offense, something he hasn't had in the previous 3 seasons. However, he hasn't transformed himself into a fantasy-relevant player in 3 seasons, and that could mean that things won't change in a positive direction. Even with the Titans' thin-on-wide receiver talent last season, Okonkwo could muster only 14.9% target share, and his numbers weren't substantially better than those of a fourth-round rookie tight end Gunnar Helm. Okonkwo has had 54, 52, and 56 receptions over the last 3 years, and he had a career-high 560 receiving yards in 2025. But he's never scored more than 3 touchdowns in a season. He is currently at tight end 18.
Is he in the blob?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel? It sounds like you feel good about him.
I think he's a good backup.
Good backup, fine. Walker, what do you think?
I think that he is a high-end tight end too. Like I if you are somebody who likes to draft two tight ends, he has high upside, and so I don't mind him. You know, I'd rather take him than like TJ Hockenson. I'd rather take him than Kate Otten, than Hunter Henry, guys like that. But I don't think he's proven enough, nor is he enough on the pecking order for sure to put him any higher than, like, I mean, by raw stats, I have him at 16. I don't think I would put him any higher than 14, but I could see him finishing like tight end 8 or something if everything goes right.
I mean, he does have like getting 8 touchdowns in his range of outcomes, and that would put him in that ballpark. But
right, because I mean, like, for example, like I have him projected for 64, 665, and 4. But mm-hmm. if you bump that up to 8, which is reasonable, it could happen, that would give him 24 more points, which would put him at tight end 9.
How about this?
My projections.
Walker, can you update your projections? He catches 2 more 1-yard touchdowns. What are his projections?
If he has, what, 66 for 666? Is that what you're trying
and
to get?
And 6.
And 6, yeah.
Oh my god! What I'm saying is that Chigakonkwo is the key. If Chigakonkwo has a good season, it will be hell on earth. That's what I'm saying.
We already live there, though. Maybe it'll... Boy.
With the damn Cheeto in chief. Sorry to get political, folks. Sorry. No, I think Chigakonkwo is like my pick for guy that will go from like lower blob to upper blob. Just living in that like tight end, like 13, 14, 15 ballpark. Like, would anybody be surprised if he finishes higher than Dalton Kincaid or Isaiah Likely or Juwan Johnson? Like, I personally wouldn't. Yeah. And all those guys that's tight end. I mean, Aronde Gadsden, he's going to finish higher than Aronde Gadsden. I don't get Gadsden at 16. Like,
yeah, I would take him over Gadsden. Like, of the guys going in his general region, like, I guess Ferguson, Schultz, maybe if you want to take a shot on Strange, but I mean,
oh, I think you're missing somebody
in that range. Is Mark Andrews going in that range? I don't know.
No, your boy's going in that range. I guess he's going 20 picks later.
Which one of my boys?
Pearl Milling Company.
Oh, I love. Yeah, I do love AJ Barner.
Yeah, he's going as tight end 24 versus Chig at 21,
which is insane.
Yeah, but yeah, I it's a weird range down there. All right.
Oh yeah, it's just pick your poison.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Any other thoughts on the Washington Commanders?
No, the only one that is to keep in the back of your mind maybe a little bit is Treylon Burks. I mean, he's definitely like a last pick kind of draft guy, but he being that there's no one opposite Terry McLaurin, but Treylon Burks as of right now could yield some fantasy points. But other than that, no, there's nothing else.
Yeah, I feel like Treylon Burks has a narrow, like a thin path to relevancy. Like, he had that cool catch last year, but I'm not worried about him.
Yeah,
Treylon Burks, 18th round best ball pick.
Yeah, like I forget who it was. Somebody posted like two of these receivers have to get cut before training camp, and it was the Commanders depth chart, and I was like, you could probably cut like 5 of these guys right now.
Yeah, like it includes. Like Luke McCaffrey, probably fine to cut that guy. Jalen Lane, I don't think so. I mean,
Luke McCaffrey's fast. Been replaced twice.
Yeah, he's like 25 years old also.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. It had Brandon Ayuk there. It had Treylon Burks. I was like, yeah, you could cut probably 5. One other guy, I was like, you could cut 5 of these guys right now, and it would be fine.
Well, you couldn't, because then you would only have like 2 receivers.
Who's the best one? Then they go sign Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs.
Oh, okay.
unironically,
entire,
that would
entire receiver room on IR by week four.
Imagine just like imagine this going out, wide receiver room doing great. Everybody's happy. Everybody's gelling. All this stuff. Cut three of them. Add Brandon Ayuk, Stephon Diggs, and Tyreek Hill to that room. Have fun, guys.
The normalest wide receiver room of all time. They're calling it.
They're calling it the best blunt rotation.
Oh God. Mystery boat drugs rotation. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Shall we move on to the New York Football Giants? Oh no, I went last time, so I'm going to go second this time.
Okay.
All right. The New York Football Giants. Okay. Brain getting more normal by the day. Only 2,282 words between the Giants and Dallas Goedert. So, brain normalizing. All right. I had to update this because I wrote this before Giants Pride Night. So the New York Football Giants, a.k.a. the Giants who don't suck at their job, a.k.a. the other group of chuds called the Giants, have a new head coach in town with inexplicably the more brainwormed of the two Har brothers. John Harbaugh brought Greg Roman with him as an assistant, but put Patrick Mahomes merchant Matt Nagy in charge of the offense. So with that in mind, don't draft any Giants. God bless and good night. Okay. But seriously, Matt Nagy is ass. In his time with Chicago, a.k.a. the only time he didn't have Patrick Mahomes to buoy a shit-ass offense, he never ranked higher than 21st in total yards. The Bears ranked 9th in points in 2018, but 29th, 26th, and 24th in the other three seasons. That ninth-ranked offense came thanks to the defense ranking first in takeaways and the offense starting with the fifth-best field position. Even with that primo position, they still finished outside the top 10 in points per drive at 12th. In 2019, they ranked 25th in points per drive, the same rank in 2020, and they dropped to 27th in 2021. That is all to say they stunk out loud on offense. So call me crazy if I think that Matt Nagy isn't going to transform this offense into something fantastic. All right. Let's start with Donald Trump's favorite quarterback, Jackson Dart. I regret to inform you that Jackson Dart will be a top 10 quarterback this season, despite or because of his weaponry and his idiotic offensive coordinator. Dart played over 5% of snaps in 12 games last season, so I cut out two games. I had to cut out from his averages two games where he played like four snaps combined. He finished QB 11 or greater eight times. From week four, which was his first start, until the end of the season, he averaged 20.7 fantasy points per game, which ranked him as QB 7 in fantasy. All of this has to do with his rushing points, however, as he averaged just 189 passing yards and 1.25 touchdowns per game in a start. However, he led the NFL in quarterback rushing yards going from his first start to the end of the season with 487 in those 12 games. Kick in his nine touchdowns, Kick in his nine touchdowns, which were helped by the fact that he was ranked third in multiple touchdown rushing games among quarterbacks. The same number of multiple rushing touchdown games as Jalen Hurts and behind Josh Allen and the King, Trevor Lawrence, second in multiple rushing touchdown games last year. A ton of those runs were designed to, as his 47 design carries ranked second in the NFL behind Josh Allen's 50 from the time he took over as the starter to the end of the season. Now, there's the obvious factor we have to consider here, which was Brian Daboll was trying to physically snap Jackson Dart in half. Remember when Brian Daboll literally yelled at the independent neurological guy? That was cool. that's what you want from your coach. But Jackson Dart's nine rushing touchdowns do intrigue me, as he only had seven goal line carries last year. While that is quite a bit for a quarterback, only four of his nine touchdowns came from inside the 5 yard line. Compare this to Josh Allen, who had 11 such touchdowns, Jalen Hurts, who had six, Trevor Lawrence, who had five, and Daniel Jones, who also had five. Jackson Dart isn't just lining up and slamming into folks at the goal line, which is the big concern for his concussions. Though at 6'2", 223, I'm not particularly concerned for him, other than the concussions, as that's the same size as Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, who aren't exactly sticks out there. I expect a slight step back from Dart in the rushing department, as he cannot continue to run with as much reckless abandon as he did last season. However, the Giants' receiving core should hopefully be better than last season, with Malik Nabers hopefully recovering from his ATL. Jesus Christ. Hopefully recovering from his ACL tear last year. Again, hopefully. And the receiving core hoping to get a modicum of production out of a bevy of offseason vet signings. That having been said, running is in Jackson Dart's DNA, and it was in the Ravens' DNA, which John Harbaugh is clearly trying to evoke with Greg Roman and a handful of other Ravens coming over with him. So I firmly believe that we will get a completely scammy top 10 season out of Jackson Dart with the per game caveat, as he is likely to further turn his brain into a slurry at some point in this season. Herein lies the rub with Jackson Dart. He is going as QB9, and that is his likeliest outcome, at least to me. I ranked him as QB9 in our two early ranks, and I double checked that to make sure that I wasn't talking out of my ass. Some are pegging him for the Drake May step forward in year two, but there is one major difference between Drake May and Jackson Dart. Drake May is good. Ultimately, I doubt I will have any Jackson Dart unless he starts to slip. Taking QB9 at QB9 is the ultimate in the Akash meme because that pick does literally nothing for you, especially since my king goes two quarterbacks later. Any thoughts on Jackson Dart?
I assume your king being Wristband Trev.
Wristband Trev, baby! All right, Jackson Dart or Justin Herbert?
Herbert.
Herbert.
Jackson Dart or Wristband Trev?
I'm gonna go with Lawrence, yeah.
All right, both those quarterbacks are going behind him, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
QB10 and QB11. All right, Jackson Dart or Kyle Pitts, tight end 7.
Dart.
I'm picking really stinky guys, just so you both know. Jackson Dart or RJ Harvey.
Oh. Harvey, I guess.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'll go Dart.
Jackson Dart or Cortland Sutton?
Sutton.
No. Dart.
Dart. Okay. Yeah, I told you both. I picked some really stinky guys on purpose. All right, what do we think about Jackson Dart? I'm probably not going to have him anywhere despite having him 9th.
I don't want anything to do with him.
Me neither. I'm quite low on him. I don't trust that he'll stay healthy. I don't trust that he'll run as much as he did last year. I don't trust that his only receiver will stay healthy. I think it's all house cards.
Fair enough. Speaking of things that are likely to come tumbling down, Malik Nabers in his ACL recovery.
Ooh, boy.
Woo! All right, let's talk the wide receivers. Malik Nabers, he is an otherworldly NFL talent, but he tore his ACL in week 4 last year and was last seen laboring to run at a charity wiffle ball event. So I'm going to proceed through this next part, given that it's June, and we are going to assume that Malik Nabers will be healthy for week 1. But why should I expect that? The Giants certainly don't expect that, with the most recent words used to describe his situation vis-a-vis his week 1 availability being that they, quote, think he will be fine in week 1, that's from Joe Shane, and that they are, quote, hopeful he will be back in week 1, and that's per John Harbaugh. This is a far cry from him being a participant in off-season activities and is looking increasingly likely that Malik Nabers will start the season on PUP because, and this is underreported, he also had a meniscus tear full repair procedure along with his ACL tear, which makes the recovery, quote, more laborious per the ESPN injury experts. My number one mantra for fantasy football injuries is that enough players get hurt throughout the season and don't draft players that are already hurt. You're starting behind the eight ball. With this in mind, I can't see myself drafting Malik Nabers anytime soon, at least at his current ADP. He is going as wide receiver 13 off the board and pick 306 in 12-team leagues. I could see paying this price if we get any good news from the Nabers camp, but as of right now, June 18th, I have no interest in him. The trajectory he's on screams starting the season on PUP and him working in gradually. He could be a league winner, but if he doesn't have his first good game until halfway through October at a third round price tag, then enjoy dominating your consolation bracket. I understand this is a far cry from my wide receiver 9 ranking of Nabers and our two early rankings. And that's because I believe that Nabers was going to be on the mend to be back by week 1. The video, combined with them signing 3 veteran wide receivers literally all at once following his cleanup procedure, made me extremely nervous to take Nabers inside of the top 10. I don't doubt the talent. I doubt the injury and the situation. So how do we feel about Malik Nabers this season?
I'm also pretty nervous. You know, on talent, top 10 easily. But, I mean, at this point, I would rather take basically anyone in his tier above him because he's injured. You know, once you get down to, like, the older guys, the guys with a lot of target competition, questionable production, at that point, I think you have to take the chance on Nabers because as long as he's back by, like, week 7, still win you your league. But, yeah, it's hard to even justify taking him, like, top 12 at all. I mean, he's got to be a high upside wide receiver, too, at this point.
And I have no, honestly, if I can, and if the board falls where I can get him, like if I can end up with like Nico Collins or like CeeDee Lamb, and then I come back with Malik Nabers, sure. But I can't use him as my wide receiver one. It just won't work out that way. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm avoiding him. Hasn't been healthy in 2 seasons. Missed 2 years in his 2 games in his rookie year, and then a 13 games in his sophomore year. And then these reports about his knee, I don't want to take a chance on it.
All right. Malik Nabers or Devonta Smith, currently going as wide receiver 14.
Devonta.
Devonta.
Chris, I'm sorry, Malik Nabers or Chris Olave, currently going as wide receiver 12.
I think I'll make go Malik there.
Nabers.
Malik Nabers or why'd I put AJ Brown? He's like wide receiver 8. Malik Nabers or Tedrone McMillan, wide receiver 15.
McMillan.
All right. Mike, nice save there.
Yeah.
Tet pause Aroa. Nabers or Josh Allen, 1 QB.
Allen. Josh Allen.
Nabers or Loveland?
Ooh. I think I might go Nabers.
Nabers.
Walker? Nabers. Okay. Nabers or Breece Hall?
Breece Hall.
Yeah, Breece Hall.
As for the rest of the wide receiver core, I see nothing I want any part of. Darius Slayton is what he is, as are the corpses of Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham, and Braxton Berrios. They did draft one wide receiver, so here's the Malachi Fields breakdown. Fields is a massive 9-route specialist who isn't particularly fast and who has the tightest hips that you have ever seen. He is a one-trick pony, and his trick is having a huge catch radius, though he is a pretty good blocker, so I'll give him 1.5 tricks. Outside of that, he doesn't create separation, he is not a yak guy, and he doesn't really transform any portion of the offense. He's mostly a big-bodied wide receiver who is there to make Jackson Dart's life easier on third down and not to produce any sort of consistent fantasy points for your team, similar to how the 49ers used Juwan Jennings before he broke out. There will be a chance for him to produce in this offense, though I'm not super bullish on the talent, but I wasn't incredibly bullish on Juan Daddy either. The likely addition of likely... Sorry, I should have been more clear here in my writing. The Isaiah likely addition makes the offense more crowded, but there's still a role for Malachi Fields, similar to how Jennings carved out a fantasy-relevant role for the 49ers a few years ago, despite being a low-volume player. The Nabers factor also looms large, but he is expected back from week 1, but without being at 100% if he does return. It is an interesting path to value for Fields, but he received the day 2 value that makes him worth looking at in redraft leagues. As I would like to remind folks, approximately 20% of top 100 wide receiver picks do hit in their rookie season. I'm not quite yet bullish on Malachi Fields for 2026, but he is a name that I'm keeping an eye on for redraft and best ball leagues to see if there's any sort of interesting camp buzz. It's a new team. I'm new head coach, new everything. So the target competition is wide open behind Nabers. There are a lot of directions the Giants could have gone in the NFL draft inside the top 10 that would have ended up with them collecting fantasy relevant players. You had the wide receivers. They could have traded up a few picks for Jeremiah Love, but they didn't do that. They went offense later on in the draft, offensive skill players. Ultimately, because of this, Fields could have some value at some point during the season and is worth a look as a late flyer in redraft leagues and as a part of a Jackson Dart stack in best ball if we get some good camp reports. Are we drafting Malachi Fields at all? Wide receiver 88, pick 219.
No.
Yeah, the best thing that I could say about him is he is an interesting Jackson Dart stack. Cheap for in best ball. But I'm not super interested in him. It's more situation than talent, and leaning into situation over talent is kind of a good way to make errors. All right. Are we ready to talk about the pride of Rio Linda, California?
Really?
Cam Scataboo, baby.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. All right. Scataboo played more than 22% of snaps in 6 games last season before his leg went the wrong direction and he tried to walk it off. Don't forget, he tried to stand up when his foot was pointed in the wrong direction. He literally tried to walk that shit off. In those games where he had over 22% of snaps, he averaged 16 rush attempts for 67 yards, and he also averaged 5 targets, 3.5 catches, and 30 receiving yards per game. He scored 5 touchdowns in those 6 games, giving him a season-long production of 1,649 total yards and 17 touchdowns for the season with 60 receptions. This comes out to 19.2 PPR points per game, which would have ranked as RB6 last season. Granted, much like Neighbors, Cam Scataboo is returning from a leg injury, and like Dart, he is returning from his head being turned into flan by Brian Daboll. Unlike Neighbors, however, he is at camp and competed in 11-on-11 drills at practice. By all measures, he's back, and we don't have to worry about the injury. He is an absolute bowling ball who will catch enough passes to matter. For me, he is an RB1 for 2026 fantasy football leagues. And he is currently going as running back 19 by 444 ADP. Do we think he's too high, too low, or just right?
At 19?
Yeah.
I think that's a little too high.
A little too high? Walker?
Yeah.
I would say on the edge of too high, but it probably fine.
Okay, perfect. I thought I was gonna have to do some weird calibration to do this guy or that guy. So we'll just keep him where he is, and we'll go Scataboo or Bucky.
Scat.
Yeah, Scat.
Scat. Oh nope, not Josh Jacobs. I don't think we'll be drafting Josh Jacobs. Scataboo or Trevion.
Trevion.
Scataboo or Swift?
Swift.
Yeah, Swift.
Oh, wow. Okay. Scataboo or Emekabuka?
I'm going with Igbuka there.
I think I'm going to go... Well, I was going to go Scat, but I think Igbuka is the right answer.
All right. Scat or... I'm not even going to ask Luther Burden. We all know the answer there. Scat or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar,
yeah.
All right, perfect. I do not care about quote-unquote Tyrone Tracy or quote-unquote Devin Singletary, so let's move on to the tight ends. Up next and last is tight end and Isaiah Likely. The Theo Johnson truthers are down bad and in shambles as part of John Harbaugh's Ravens influx included Isaiah Likely, who spent last season as the Ravens tight end too. Oh, man, I wrote that sentence weird. Included Likely being his name and also being a filler word that I use a lot is going to throw me off. I do apologize. This one I'm not cutting out. I'm leaving it in. As he spent last season as the Ravens tight end too, Likely doesn't have much to look at in his overall numbers from 2025. 27 receptions, 307 yards, and 1 touchdown. However, he just wasn't used much as he took a backseat to Mark Andrews. However, he did produce when targeted, as Likely had over 5 targets twice last season and finished as tight end 9 and tight end 10 in those 2 games. Those were his only 2 top 10 finishes last season and were a step back from the 3 he had in 2024. So only 5 top 10 finishes in the last 2 seasons. Not exciting. Over the last 2 seasons, there hasn't been much under the hood for Likely, except that he's ranked inside the top 10 in ADOT and in ADOT among tight ends in the last 2 seasons. The case for an Isaiah Likely breakout campaign does not sit in those last 2 seasons. It sits in the back half of 2023 when Andrews missed 6 games and Likely got full run for an extended stretch. In those six games, Likely was tight end 4, averaging 13.9 PPR points per game. He did this not by getting a lot of targets, averaging just 4.5 per game, receptions 3.5 or yards 53.7. He did this because he scored 5 touchdowns in 6 games. The path forward for Likely is pretty clear. He's a blob tight end whose value will come thanks to a decimated wide receiver core. His price is right for me at tight end 14, and he makes one of the better options as a 1-2 punch at tight end late if you are working in the blob. Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews?
Andrews.
I'm going to go Likely.
All right, Likely or Dalton Kincaid?
Kincaid.
Kincaid.
Likely or Dallas Goedert, my king?
Goedert.
Mike?
Goedert.
We both said Goedert.
Oh, you said it at the same time. Okay, I didn't hear Mike. Wow, hold on. I thought I would have gotten one Likely pick. Hold on, let me try this. Likely or Mason Taylor?
Jesus. Gonna have to go with Isaiah Likely on that
one. Likely or Aronde Gadsden?
Likely,
yeah.
Bang. Okay, I was just trying to get some above, some below. Likely or Kevin Concepcion?
Likely.
Likely.
Likely or Romeo Doubs?
Likely.
Doubs.
All right, and that concludes our 2026 New York Football Giants. May they rest in piss. All right. That leaves us with, before we do our triple dipper, we're doing Walker and the Dallas Cowboys. They're calling him the most normal owner in sports, Jerry Jones. Walker?
I don't think anybody's calling him that, to be fair. Maybe Jerry Jones is calling himself that, but other than that, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah? Would a normal owner do this? And it's just the most Jerry Jones thing you've ever seen in your life.
No. They wouldn't. But... yeah, we'll start off with Dak Prescott. Spoiler alert, my only good or bad value of the segment. I think Dak is a little bit undervalued this season. Going as QB8, I know that he had a very good season last year. Threw for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. I just don't really see, looking at the situation, what has changed to make him worse. And I trust him more than I trust most of the other guys in this tier. I wouldn't take him before Lamar or Burrow, I'd probably take him before Hurts even, honestly. So QB5 for me. He's going in the 7th. I have him going in I think he should go in the 5th. So 2 rounds that early in the draft I think is, it's a good value. He's kind of my guy in that range where Jeff's is Lawrence. I would much rather take Dak than risk Jaden Daniels' health, than risk the Caleb Williams regression possibility, than risk Justin Herbert just not producing as much as we think. I would much, much rather have Dak Prescott than Jackson Dart. I mean, and they're going back to back. So I feel like he's the most stable of those options. And I really like to have stability at the quarterback position. I just don't want to think about it. Like, go out and get me 18 to 22 points. And that's all I'm looking for. I don't even need to watch it.
You unironically said the thing that I was going to say when you said you were going to take him 2 rounds. You would take him 2 rounds above consensus. I said, folks, they're calling him Walker's Trevor Lawrence. You're like, yep, actually, I would liken it to the Jeff Trevor Lawrence situation. I was like, God damn it. Walker got me.
Got him again.
Again.
The first one was before the podcast, so you don't know about that one.
Mike, that one, that might be the intro. That might be the intro, actually. So folks might know about it by this
point. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Mike, what are your thoughts on Prescott this season?
I like him. I mean, there's really, as you mentioned, there's really no change. I mean, you still have CeeDee Lamb, you still have
Seconds.
Pickens, and the guy doesn't run, but he hasn't run since what, 5 years?
Since his leg went the wrong direction.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly. So that's not going to change either. So the consistency is definitely there for him. I don't know if I'd have him as high as you do, but I think 8 to 10 is probably where I'd probably like him to be. But yeah, he should be just as good as he was last year.
I'm gonna say something. I need to preface this by saying this is an honest question. This isn't a hot take question, okay? Honestly, not from a overall talent perspective, but from a fantasy football perspective, the talking about this, what really separates him from Joe Burrow?
Nothing.
Okay.
Joe Burrow might throw. I mean, he might throw for a few more touchdowns, but yeah, they both have extremely high volume. Neither of them run. They both complete a very similar amount of passes. They both have really good weaponry and a pretty average running game. I mean, I Prescott is the guy you take instead of taking Joe Burrow in the fourth round.
That's what I was getting at. Like it really feels like the profile is extremely similar down to we're very kismet right now, Walker, down to what I was going to say, the complementary running game. Like neither Chase Brown nor Javonte Williams are like, we got to get this guy the football where it's going to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands. And Chase and Higgins is like the very short list of guys that are better 1-2 punches than CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. Like it might be those guys and questionably Puka and Davante Adams, like questionably.
Questionably, Amon-Ra and J-Mo.
Yeah, questionably. So it's like it's you're looking at elite talent. An okay running game. And honestly, I think one thing that separates Dak and Burrow is the tight end situation is better, like as a third option for Dak.
Yeah, because Ferg is very consistent, whereas
Yeah.
Gesicki is not.
Yeah, Gesicki is very up and down. Gesicki is like a boom bust tight end, which is not really what you're looking for.
No.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, there's you talking through that. I'm like this. There's not much that separates him and Burrow, and I'm glad that you agree in that regard.
I do indeed. So, yep, big Dak fan this year. We'll move on to the aforementioned Javonte Williams, who, due to draft philosophy differences from the masses, I have as a suggested fifth round pick, and he's going in the bottom of the third. But I projected him as RB18, which is his exact ADP. He had a very solid season last year. I expect him to continue to have around 1,000 rushing yards because that's what Dallas's running back literally always has. Probably somewhere around 10 total touchdowns, 50 targets, which he'll catch 70 to 80% of. He's just a rock solid RB2. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he's gonna finish like RB16. It's I feel like he's very safe. He's above the dead zone, but the upside, because of the pass happy offense and the amount of weapons in the passing game, I just don't see him ever having those like 30 touch games. And he's not really that explosive of a runner either, but he usually gets what's blocked, if not a yard more. He doesn't really have a huge weakness in his game, and he's clearly better than anybody else they've got. So I think he's a safe RB2. This one I'll do some this or that's for Javonte. Let's do Javonte or Travis Etienne.
Give me Etienne.
It's so close. Flip a coin even. I'm gonna go Javonte, why not?
All right. Javonte or Quinshon Judkins.
Quinshon.
Maybe, honestly, I think given there's not been one good piece of news about the offense coming out of Browns camp. I don't want to touch that offense, so I will honestly take Javonte. I'll get a piece of the better offense.
Fair.
Like Javonte could get 13, 14 touchdowns. I don't see that happening for Quinshon.
No. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Javonte or Scattaboo?
Scattaboo.
Give me Scat.
Right,
Scoobity bop bop boop but out boop bop.
Yep. And that's a disagreement for me. I like Javonte over Scat. And then last one, Javonte or Bucky Irving.
This is gonna hurt me. This is gonna pain me. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, the less I want Bucky Irving.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way.
I will take Javonte.
Yeah. Yep. I think that, Jeff, I have bad news for you about the Tampa Bay backfield this year, and that I really think the two guys that you like are going to be cannibalized by the one guy you don't care about.
Yeah, you know, Gainwell's gonna, like, he's gonna take a little here, a little there. It's gonna be Bucky between the 20s, Sean Tucker on the goal line, and
Gainwell with all the other shit.
Yeah, Gainwell does everything else.
And so, but it'll end up being, yeah, Bucky gets like 50%, Gainwell gets 30, and Tucker gets 20.
It's going to be me in week four, just like ripping my hair out. I'm like, Bucky gets 15 carries a game. He should be scoring more fantasy points. What is happening here?
Like, Denny Carter posts the process every week about Bucky Irving.
Exactly. The process. I will be following the process straight into hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So no, Walker, I've already come to terms with the Tampa Bay backfield. Don't worry.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any dissenting thoughts about Javonte, or is it pretty much just kind of right there?
I mean, my thoughts on Javonte are he's his profile reminds me a lot of like Kyren a few years ago, where we're like, he's fine. He's not world breaking. He's good enough. He has a dominating control of the backfield in what's probably going to be a top five offense. Like, I know in the past he hasn't been a full-time back, but who's stopping Javonte Williams? Malik Davis?
Phil, like, Maffa.
Phil Maffa, Jaden Blue. Like, I already played this game with Jaden Blue once. I'm not doing it again.
There's nobody there. Yeah,
so there's nobody there.
It's, I mean, if you relate to Cincinnati again, the Chase Brown thing is pretty similar. It's just that Chase catches more passes.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. Also, later career, Joe Mixon was the same way. Like, he wasn't particularly good. He wasn't particularly efficient. He just got the ball a ton and scored a bunch of touchdowns.
Yep.
So, and then he shot his foot off or whatever he did.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. His foot's gone, though.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was one of the funniest things at the expo was... it was like a injury doc thing, and they were like, "Hey, I just drafted Joe Mixon. I think I got a great value. You know, how do we feel about him?" And they were just like, "Yeah, man, I don't think he's playing this year. Sorry, dude." It's just so funny because the guy was like, "Tell me something good," and they were like, "Brother, like, he ain't playing.
Can't do it."
Yeah, brother, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah,
it was the guy putting the hand on the shoulder meme.
Yes, buddy, that pick sucked.
Yeah, it's a bad pick.
Don't know how else to tell you.
Yeah. All right. What do we got? What else we got, Walker? We got other players, other positions.
Oh yeah, we got wide receivers. We're gonna present them together because they kind of go together. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, both top 12 guys by ADP and by rankings. CeeDee Lamb wide receiver 6 in both. Pickens wide receiver 10. I have him wide receiver 9. And both going right around the same range that I would say they should. Lamb is going to get more targets. He will catch more passes, so he is the higher floor option. And he probably has the higher ceiling also, but not by much, because Pickens' depth of target is higher and will probably catch more touchdowns. I would say Lamb is a tier above Pickens, but just barely. And both of these guys are, would be extremely elite wide receiver 2s and cromulent, but not elite wide receiver 1s. So the first this or that is obvious. CeeDee Lamb or George Pickens?
Give me compact disc lamb, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do think Pickens will probably lead in receiving yards and touchdowns, but I think it'll be so close that Lamb's lead in receptions will carry him to a pretty clear win in points. We'll do two each, CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, Lamb pretty Dak Prescott or question mark at quarterback.
That's fair. That's fair. CeeDee Lamb or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Give me Sun God.
Yeah, Monroe.
I agree. Much as I like J-Mo, he's not quite as much competition on a down-to-down basis as Pickens is. And Amon-Ra will catch more passes than Lamb.
Yeah.
George Pickens or DeVonta Smith?
Pickens.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pickens.
And George Pickens or Nico Collins?
Nico.
Give me Nico.
That one's really close to me. I have them separated by like 3 points. So, yeah, I feel like they're both good picks, but not fantastic picks.
Yeah, they're fine.
Right. Going where they are, I would probably rather take Lamb because he's got a stronger background of production, whereas Pickens has had one really, really good season and a bunch of up and down stuff before that. So I could understand if you didn't want to like take Pickens as a top 12 receiver because there are other options like, Collins, Drake London, McMillan. But yeah, Lamb is in tier two of the receivers, but kind of at the bottom of it. Pickens is tier three, but at the top of it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Do you guys have, so Jeff says that's fair. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's pretty fair.
Okay, very good. We love to hear it, folks. Move on to Big Ferg. Jake Ferguson. He's clearly the only tight end that matters here, and he doesn't really matter that much, but he is a solid third target in this offense. He will likely finish outside the top 12, but not by much because he doesn't miss a lot of time. He'll get somewhere in the 80 to 90 target range. Not the most athletic dude, not the greatest red zone target in the world, but very solid between the 20s. So he's your high floor blob option. I just can't really advocate drafting that type of guy unless you're doing like, I mean, if you want to get like Big Ferg and Chig in the last two rounds of your draft, sure. But I don't really see, unless Ferguson catches like 10 touchdowns and he's not really the type of athlete who's going to do that. I don't see him being top 10 or anything.
New draft strategy name, Chig Ferg. I think Ferg is like the classic, like, I'm gonna take a shot if I'm gonna take a shot on one guy and it makes me antsy and I want a guy that will just contribute consistent steady fantasy points just in case, then that's Big Ferg right there.
Yeah, the thing is that I would just do the same thing with Dalton Schultz, but Dalton Schultz is free, whereas Ferguson costs like a ninth round pick.
Yeah, I think if you're doing the same thing, it's people who get antsy with an uncertainty, and given the Schultz price tag, they're gonna double or outthink themselves.
Yeah, it'll
And
be like,
so,
oh, well, did something happen with Dalton Schultz? No, everybody's just bored.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and plus, I mean, what's the target competition there outside of Nico Collins?
Not great.
Yeah, not much.
So in short, Dallas Cowboys gonna have a pretty high powered offense, and I think a return to the playoffs as well this year.
All right, cool. Is that it? Is that
That's
it?
it. Yeah.
That's it
That's
for the
it.
Dallas Cowboys.
I don't care about Ryan Flannoy. Stop trying to make Ryan Flannoy happen.
Dude, Ryan Flannoy is a psyop. I'm sorry. Classic, trying to make a wide receiver three happen. Folks, it rarely happens.
It extremely rarely. Steve Breston ain't walking through that door.
Yeah. Like, wide receiver threes happened when it was like, what? It was Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. And Sammy was like, not even that relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let's stop doing that with the Ryan Flannoys of the world.
Like, I was at Southeast Missouri State like 3 years ago. I don't think he's going to take George Pickens' job.
Southeast Missouri State sounds like a school that I make up to make fun of small schools. Like, let's be clear here. A non-standard direction, flyover state, and then the term state or university. Like, that's my formula, folks. So, all right, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. Who's got Jalen Hurts, folks?
I do. Jalen Hurts is QB7, and his production's dropped last season after averaging at least 21 fantasy points per game from his first full season as a starter in 2021 to 2024. It dipped to 19.1 fantasy points per game in 2025. Hurts ran less. I actually wrote Hurst.
Hurst. Garrison Hurst?
Yeah. His 421 rushing yards last season marked a 5-year low, and his streak of 4 straight seasons with double-digit rushing touchdowns was broken. Kevin Petullo has been ousted as the Eagles' play caller and replaced by first-time NFL offensive coordinator Sean Mannion. Mannion is installing a motion-based scheme rooted in the Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan system. The offense relies heavily on lining the quarterback under center, implementing wide zone concepts, and varying play-action passes with pre-snap shifts. Hurts lost A.J. Brown, but gained rookies Mekhi Lemon and Eli Stowers. Their backup is Andy Dalton, but we all know Andy Dalton.
No.
No?
Their true backup is one of my kings, Cole Payton.
No, it isn't.
Walker, how do you really feel?
I think Cole Payton's bad. So
yeah, but he could be so much fun.
I mean, in a this guy sucks, but he's gonna throw 3 touchdowns along with his 6 turnovers type of way.
You ready for the worst format of analogy? He's the Josh Allen of Taysom Hills.
I don't think he is.
I think he is. You have to understand the Taysom Hill is like, it's like Taysom Hill and Sam Ellinger. Okay. It doesn't take a lot to be the Josh Allen of that group.
They're calling me the Joe Webb of Taysom Hills.
That's right. Oh, poor Joe Webb. You started a playoff game.
Nobody knows what it means,
but it's provocative.
That's right. Gets people going.
That's right. All right. All right. So, are we drafting Jalen Hurts this year? How are we feeling? I feel like he is like fancy for fantasy purposes, fancy Jackson Dart. You're going to get what you're going to get. There's not a lot of upside.
No.
He is solid. Yeah, he's solid. He doesn't run as much as he used to. He should still run for a lot of touchdowns, but yeah, I think he's safer than like Jayden Daniels, Caleb Williams. But yeah, I wouldn't take him top 5, but I would take him top 8 quarterbacks.
Okay. Yeah, that's like I said, that's kind of where I am too. So all right, let's talk. We said, Saquon is Saquon. You kind of know what you're gonna do there. We don't have to really talk about it. So let's talk about Walker. You talk about in this episode probably 3 of the top like 5 guys. With Devonta Smith and the 2 wide receivers in Dallas. So take it away.
Yeah, pretty much. So I have Devonta Smith we'll start off with. He is now the number 1 guy in town with A.J. Brown shipped out to New England. He's shipping up to Boston, folks. You ever heard that one? That's right. I think Devonta Smith is pretty clearly a top 12 guy, considering he is not going to have a ton of target competition. In games where A.J. Brown missed, he has been a wide receiver one in the past. I wouldn't say he's going to be like 100 catch, 1,500 yard guy or anything like that, but he is pretty clearly a like mid to high tier or mid to high end like tier three receiver, and somebody that again is in that elite wide receiver two and cromulent wide receiver one range. He's going as wide receiver 11 right now. I have him as my wide receiver 10. Let's do Devonta Smith or Garrett Wilson.
Maybe Devonta.
Devonta, yeah.
Devonta Smith or Teteroa McMillan.
Teteroa.
I think I'll take Devonta.
Devonta Smith or Drake London.
Drake.
Okay.
You can you can call me on my cell phone.
Folks. Late night when you need my love.
Yep, that's right.
And Devonta Smith or Arthur Juan Brown?
AJ.
Yeah, I think Arthur Juan.
I'm going Devonta. I think Smith outscores Brown this year. And that's it for him. Shout out to Slim Reaper. Good nickname. Mekhi Lemon is the other relevant dude in this receiver room. I don't care about Dontavian Wicks. I don't care about Hollywood Brown. Get them out of my face. Lemon drafted in the first round. The Eagles essentially stole him from the Steelers, which is pretty funny. Should be walking into about 100 targets, but unfortunately he is already banged up. So there, you take the good with the bad. Also a very solid prospect who might have been the best receiver coming out of college this year, but he also went to a situation where he kind of does work best over the middle of the field, and Jalen Hurts has never been keen to throw there. So it's a bit of an awkward fit, but a really good player who I think once he's fully healthy should hit the ground running. Unfortunately, I just think the situation and the early injury are going to be too much to overcome for being a good value this year. He's going inside the top 40 receivers, and I just can't get there. Even though I like him as a player, I can't get there with the low-volume passing offense. He might not even be the number two target in the offense. We're not sure. I would rather take a shot on, like, Parker Washington or Christian Watson. You know, just somebody who can either win you your league or could be the number one receiver, whereas Lemon just won't be. Mekhi Lemon or Khalil Shakir?
Oh, give me Lemon.
Yeah, Lemon.
I agree there. Lemon or Parker Washington?
Lemon.
I don't like the injury, but I love Mekhi Lemon, so I'm going to go Mekhi Lemon.
Okay. Lemon or Michael Wilson?
Wilson.
I'm going to go Wilson. Wilson!
Lemon or Ricky Pearsall?
Oh, give me Yak Miller every day of the week.
Gonna go Lemon.
And Mike, off the podcast.
And Lemon or Josh Downs?
Oh, come on.
Josh Downs by a mile, man.
No, Mekhi Lemon. Get out of here.
No, no way.
Get out of here. It's been a long time since somebody's been kicked off the podcast, by the way. So
it's nice. It has been. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
like embracing an old friend being kicked off the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. One more just because of that bonus round. Mekhi Lemon or Alec Pierce?
Alec Pierce, of course.
I'm going to go Alec Pierce here.
I am also going Alec Pierce.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
bring it home, Jeff. Bring it home with gooey
dirt. You're not going to talk about Dontavian Wicks?
No.
Okay, fair enough. All right. It's very simple. Mike coined it. We call it the Zach Ertz principle. If Dallas Goedert is playing, then you play him. Pretty simple.
Yep.
He has been tight end 5, 12, 10, and 5 in points per game in the last four seasons. Unfortunately, he has also missed 5, 3, 7, and 2 games in the last four seasons. This is the rub with the Goddard. He is a glass cannon, missing multiple games in each of the last few seasons, and averaging just 13 games played per year in that span. However, in that span, his per 17 game pace is 94 targets, 70 catches, 825 yards, and 6 touchdowns. There's a lot under the hood to like with Goddard. He finished 5th in red zone target share, marking his third season inside the top 7 in the last 3 years in that statistic. He's also on the field a ton and not blocking, ranking 10th in routes run last year despite missing 2 games, while snagging the 12th most slot snaps at tight end. Goddard led the position in touchdowns last year with 11, and you can't go broke betting against a guy leading the position in targets 2 years in a row. However, even if he drops that in half, he's still a top 10 option thanks to his consistent role in the passing game over the years. Dallas Goedert is currently tight end 13 and is outside the normal starting tight end ranks. He's a great option to pair with Isaiah Likely or another upside tight end if you want to go with a 1-2 punch at the position. Walker, you mentioned Jake Ferguson, Dalton Schultz. I feel like Dallas Goedert is the same archetype of player. You take him when you want to punt the position, but you want bankable points. That would be Dallas Goedert. Pretty straightforward, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree. Goddard is a big injury risk, but yeah, he's going to be top 12 when he plays most often.
Yeah. Honestly, because of the injury risk, I probably would not want him in best ball because I would want to be able to kick him off to the side and just be like, get out of here, get out of my face when he gets hurt. Because if he gets hurt, it's going to hurt your down the stretch stuff. And you can't like deal with in-season pickups and all that stuff. So in best ball, honestly, check this out. I like him worse in best ball.
Nice.
The rare inversion. So, all right. Mike, any thoughts on Dallas Goedert?
Nope, not really.
All right.
Like you said, if he's available, you play him.
Zach Ertz principle.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it.
Philadelphia tight end principle.
That's right. Get ready for Grant Calcaterra to inherit this. Oh no, wait, they drafted a guy. Who did they draft?
Stowers.
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here. That's right. They ruined my king. I didn't even want to talk about him. I have lots of kings. Almost like I'm a Kings fan, folks.
Whoa.
Hey now.
And we're not going to be talking about that at all. It's going normally and there's nothing going on.
Walker says no Kings.
That's yep. I reportedly went to a no Kings protest one time.
Allegedly I did as well. Not the last one though. I'm very old and I hurt my back, so did not go. So, all right, thanks for listening, everybody. Next week we'll be back to talk the NFC North, and that'll wrap up the NFC, and then we'll go to the AFC because that's how football works. So, thanks for listening. For Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.